The sun was rising in the east, and it sent shadows dancing through the streets that sparkled in the windows and just slightly warmed the huddled masses of people, those individuals that are crouched in the doorways or sleeping on the grates, you know, stretched beneath the bushes. And I was deep in my thoughts as I rushed by. I have a radio station to build. It'll reach thousands of people. I've got so much to do, and I've got so little time before I have to fly back to San Diego. And then he came out of a doorway and these words, "Can you give me a dollar for a meal?" Hey, there are Hare Krishnas at the airport. There's Help the Homeless at Giant Food Store. Here a handout, there a handout. Come on, get a job, get with it. Man, I don't have time for this. I'm busy. I don't know how long I stood there. I don't even know what first caught my attention, what drew me in. His dark eyes, perhaps? They were gentle. They were piercing, but they weren't harsh. And his hair needed to be cut and washed. His beard was scruffy and, you know, different lengths in different places. But there was something about his eyes, and maybe that's what caught my attention. So I pulled a $5 bill from my pocket. He stretched out his hand as I handed it to him. And that hand was roughened from hard work. It was calloused like a construction worker. And his feet were bare. And I walked up. And about a half a block away, I stopped and I looked back up the hill. And there he stood, looking at me. I turned and I walked back up the hill, taking off my London fog as I went. And by the time I got there, I said, "You know, here, why don't you take this? It looks like you could use this." And he said he knew I'd come back. He'd been waiting for me, and he stood watching and waiting. And he slipped on my coat and thanked me, said he could use it now, and then that he'd pass it on to someone else in need. And then he said, "You know, there's so much to be thankful for." And then not just his eyes, but his words pierced my heart. "Let's get some breakfast down the street," I mumbled. Sat at the table and I brought the food and the water that he'd requested, and I just lost track of time. Hours went by as we talked, and not just idle chat. We talked about so many things. And he talked about the homeless and the hungry and the brokenhearted and those that were lost and all alone. And he told me how he'd seen the hopeless and the destitute. And then even those that were rich, he saw that they too were hopeless and destitute, with a poverty of spirit, even among those who had everything. And he knew about the prisons of fear and prisons of sin that held men captive. And he said he'd visited the jails and the prisons of those caught in their sins. And then he told me he had it all at one time. He could see it all and knew it all when he was at the top. And then he gave it all away and learned so much more in doing so. And he talked about families, how they're torn apart, and how sons yearn for their fathers with all their hearts. And this, he told me, he knew very well. He stretched out his hand across the table and said he had to go. I told him I'd find him a place to stay, and he refused. And I offered him more money, and he refused. And he smiled. And it was as if those eyes could look right down into the recesses of my heart. And then he asked the Father's blessing on me. And I knew I'd been blessed. And it was then, as he held my hand, that I noticed the scar right above the palm, a deep wound that left the skin indented. Was it a construction injury? I don't know. And then he rose and he went out the door, and I saw him turn at the corner and head down the street. And I collected my thoughts and I rushed after him. And I thought I saw him in my London fog at the next corner. And my mind was racing. My feet were racing down the street. And then as I got closer, I realized This was a much older man. And I guess his coat just looked like mine.